Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah.
Selected verses from the letter to the Colossians, reading from the third chapter, verse 16, through chapter 4, verse 6. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever your task, work heartily, as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and pray for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again.
Death has no more dominion over him. The life he lives to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification.
Death has no more dominion over him. The life he lives to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Death has no more dominion over him. The life he lives to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The brief word of Scripture to which we call your attention is recorded in Colossians chapter 2 in verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In the name of Christ Jesus, our risen Lord, my dear friends and fellow Christians, fellow followers of Christ, this is a day of special joy for all of us and for our church, the day of vicarage assignment, an assignment of candidate called. Our arrival at this moment demonstrates again the greatness and the goodness of God to us and to a church dedicated to the ministry of the gospel. We look forward to these special moments and to the year ahead with prayer and with bright confidence in God's continued lordship and in his grace and guidance. Whoever we are, whatever in life we confront, as we prepare ourselves for its opportunities and its challenges, we cannot but reflect upon the evidence of God's magnificent grace and his amazing gifts in Jesus Christ that are the foundation of our faith and the very heart of every joy and hope we know. The potential of all of life magnifies as we search out his continuing promises, as we offer ourselves to him in fervent and faithful discipleship, as we concentrate on the truths of his word that seal our place with him through eternity. Our text addresses that. It speaks of those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, who are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. It speaks to each of us, inviting us to walk forward in Jesus Christ. What grace is given to you and me that we grow through the gospel of Christ? Paul described the beauty of the ministry of the gospel when he said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul saw this message of grace as essential to everything that we do. For he said, "Our Lord Jesus Christ died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Now we preach that from our pulpit, and we teach it in our classroom. This is the church's message to our world. But how blessed for us to refresh our hearts this day anew with the assurance of God's mercy and his choice that rests on us. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are freed from oppression and from judgment. God has called us to know the richness and the victory that his Son, Jesus Christ, won for all mankind. That victory that our Easter worship celebrated again with exuberant joy. rooted and built up in Christ teaches us to echo the apostles' song of praise. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. By the power of the eternal Spirit, who hath brought us to faith, you and I have become partakers of the triumph that Christ won. And we can say, as the apostle did, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We can put failings and frustrations away from us, looking to the newness that faith constantly offers. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here is security. Security for every day. Security for every situation that our life confronts. For every challenge of work or of ministry. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Trials may come, doubts may surface, but faith teaches us to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we can repeat Paul's confidence in that sacred Spirit whom Christ has sent to us. I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wherever the days ahead may carry us, Christ's promise speaks to each and to all of us. Lo, I am with you always. And Scripture assures, all things shall work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Even our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's promise abides. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thou art mine. Resting on those promises, we hear the urgings of our text that our life and our ministry should be abounding therein with thanksgiving. For Scripture reminds us he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And the apostle urges, walk ye in him. What beautiful advice for a vicarage. What beautiful advice for a life, for every effort in service. God has shown us a way of living in which we can grow every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We develop a new alertness to every choice and to every decision that our life requires when faith reminds us, wist ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The way of victory bears each of us to bolder witness than we have given before. We hear again the testimony of the disciples. We cannot but speak of those things which we have seen and heard. We hear the echo of the apostles' word, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ,
The call of a sanctifying and energizing spirit invites us to apply divine dynamic to every gesture of faith and every act of ministry, repeating the tone of the apostle himself, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus my Lord. To be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus. That recognizes sins and failings, but it rejoices in forgiveness. It is a way of penitence, but never a way of pessimism. It discourages the vanity of self-esteem, but cultivates that beautiful confidence that rests in God's unchanging mercy and in the beauty of his plan. It urges us to say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Living with God's people, serving God's people, sharing Christ's victory, walking forward in under the Spirit's propulsion and power, we hear the call clearly, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist said. And if the response grows slow or the vision becomes dimmed, then Christ calls us to look to him again, to bow before him in humility and to learn again the fullness and the earnestness of God's redeeming love, that clasping his promises and power in faith, we know the miracle, the moving dynamic of forgiveness, and relying on the blessing of word and of sacraments, to see our lives changed and lifted up again in the power of his Spirit, that yielding ourselves to him in prayer, we may rejoice anew in his call, in the direction he gives, in the beautiful design of life to which he invites us all. Gentlemen, we pray for you as we beg you pray for the church, for all God's people, that as Christ moves in us and through us by the power of his Spirit, our every activity and all our service be enriched, and that gratitude teach us to say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. By the love that God has shared with us, that we share with one another, and with all God's people throughout the church, let us echo again the apostle's beautiful verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep our heart and mind through faith in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. Thank you.
have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Members of the second year class, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, your family and friends, I want you to know that this is one of the most and very solemn moments that occurs in the life and the ministry of our beloved Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, when we can welcome into the manpower force or working force, the learning force of our church, a splendid class of young men who have prepared for this time of their life. I want to assure you and to let the entire church know that the assignment of vicars for an in-service year of training is something that is not taken lightly by your church. There are many prayers said and many hours and days and months spent in preparation for just this very moment. For many congregations, it began about the first part of this year, perhaps even earlier than that, when some 307 of them began to submit applications for the privilege of serving as your in-service training congregation. One of these congregations is asking for its 33rd vicar, as far as we know, the highest and the largest number that's ever been used by one congregation in its history. Your placement officers have worked hard to study these applications, to know you better as students ready to enter a year of vicarage, so that they might present to the church people who are rightly placed, both for the good of the church, and above all for your good, that you might receive training, the best possible training, to prepare you for a lifetime service in behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight we come to this time of the year when all of that work comes to fruition. And I know you would rather not have me talk to you because you're anxious to learn where you're going. But I just want you to know that we dearly care for you and that it is our privilege to serve so that we might prepare and present you the best possible assignment for your good and for that of the church. And so it was after some long hours and days and months that on this last Monday afternoon, the Council of Presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving as the Board of Assignments, assigned vicarages to you young men whom the faculty of this Concordia Seminary and the Colloquy Committee presented for vicarage placement at this time. The Council of Presidents joyously acknowledges your readiness to serve the Lord in the place of his choice as vicars. And I pray that as you receive from our hand your assignment, that your hearts will rejoice too and will say in thanksgiving with the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, "I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry." In behalf of the Council of Presidents, in behalf of all your beloved church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we pray that God will bless you and guide you in your labors and in your learning. God go with you.
Will each of you men in the Master of Divinity program please step forward to receive your assignment as your name, together with the place of your assignment, is called. David Albers, Florida, Georgia District, Christ the King Lutheran Church, Largo, Florida. John Alstead, Texas District, Bethel Lutheran Church, Dallas, Texas. Charles Aaron, Nebraska District, Christ Lutheran Church, Norfolk, Nebraska. Rodney Armin, Ohio District, Trinity Lutheran Church, Zanesville, Ohio. Jonathan Osmus, Northwest District, St. John Lutheran Church, Salem, Oregon. Edwin Bergstresser, California, Nevada, Hawaii District, Memorial Deaf Lutheran Church, San Lorenzo, California. Luther Biggs, Missouri District, Calvary Lutheran Church, Kansas City, Missouri. Kenneth Bone, Colorado District, Concordia Lutheran Church, Lakewood, Colorado. Thomas Bain, Indiana District, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Munster, Indiana. Paul Bainish, Michigan District, St. John's Lutheran Church, Waltz, Michigan. Arthur Boone, Texas District, Hispanic In-Service Training Program, Austin, Texas. David Bowlby, Nebraska District, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Wakefield, Nebraska. Wayne Braun, Nebraska District, Calvary Lutheran Church, Blue Hill, Nebraska. Daniel Bremer, Iowa West District, St. John Lutheran Church, Charter Oak, Iowa. David Brondes, Texas District, Hispanic In-Service Training Program, Austin, Texas. Joel Brondes, North Wisconsin District, Zion Lutheran Church, Ashland, Wisconsin.